Anyway, Heather, thank you very much for taking the time to have a conversation about the museum. Perhaps let's start off with yourself. What's your background? How'd you get involved with the museum?
So my background is history. I did my undergrad at Acadia University in Nova Scotia. It was there that I got interested in environmental history, so how people and the environment interact and how one impacts the other. And then I went on to do my master's at the University of Victoria. Doing that, I realized that public history was really where I wanted to be. I didn't want to go on and do my PhD. So at that point, I'd been volunteering at various museums across Canada during my schooling, and I enrolled in museum management and curatorship program at Fleming College in Peterborough, Ontario, and did their one-year program with a 15-week internship at the Museum of Industry in Stellarton, Nova Scotia. And I came out to Fort St. John in January 2011, and I've been here ever since.
And what drew you to the museum?
I really love doing everything. To just do only one task, I would find, would be really weird. I love the fact that I can totally switch tactics, you know, every hour of the day or whatever, to interacting with the public, doing educational programs, and then to cataloging or exhibit development or whatever.
And what is the history of the collection? How did it begin, and what were some of the transitions that it's taken over the years?
It started with the North Peace Historical Society, and in the 1960s, and it was a very much a pioneer museum. You know, it was a little before Canada's centennial, but very much sort of that centennial museum feel. This is our history as pioneers of this area. And it started in a community called Taylor, which is just south of here, right on the Peace River. And it was at Peace Island Park, which is now a campground. They moved a historic building or two there, and then they had the museum there, and then they were looking for a bigger home into the 70s and starting to write grants, and they opened a small museum for the 40th anniversary of the Alaska Highway in 1982, just in the center of town, but it was only like a summer thing because the Alaska Highway goes through Fort St. John and plays a huge role in our history here. And they developed sort of what was going to be a pioneer and petroleum museum because the oil and gas industry is big here. And then they sort of switched tactics. We're now very much a community museum. There is some oil and gas history, and we have a large oil derrick and pump jack out front, but it's no means just like a petroleum museum. And we're now switching tactics out of the very pioneer-oriented thing into a whole bunch of different areas. So really, we cover history from dinosaurs to Sequoia, which is Charlie Lake Cave, where first peoples lived here over 10,500 years ago when this was an ice-free corridor, through to our really rich fur trade history where we have about 8 different forts along this area, making us the oldest European settlement in the British Columbia mainland, through to our development as a community, different businesses, farming, the construction of the Alaska Highway, and then the oil and gas industry.
What would you say are some of the strengths of the collection?
We have a ginormous archives. We recently got a whole bunch from a local photographer, which his daughter is volunteering, and she's going through a lot of negatives and so on. Really rich photo documentation of this area, most mid-1900s, but we do have some going back to 1898 and the Klondike Gold Rush through this area.
When you look back at the history of the region, what portions of its history do you find absent from the collection or you are actively looking for?
Like most museums, I think we really struggle with the last 30 or 40 years. Especially when I started here, we formed an acquisition committee, and my acquisition committee was like, we can't collect that, that's too recent, that's the 1970s. Well, yeah, we can. So that is definitely missing most from our collection. I mean, as much as we'd like to go back and stuff, you know, 1910s and 20s, like the beginning of homesteading here is really super cool, and we'd like more because there weren't that many people here, and it's great to find documentation about that. It's the more recent stuff that we're having to convince people that the brochure that you picked up in 1980 is actually something we'd be like interested in for our collection.
What are some of the events or people or changes that you're witnessing in the community that you're eager to gather documentation on?
Some of our historic buildings here are disappearing, so trying to cut some photographs of those. Always interior buildings are very difficult to get. Definitely something we're also working on. Fort St. John is very much transient community, and our population is changing from predominantly white to a lot more minorities. So starting to collect history from those communities is also important.
When you started out and the time you've spent with the collection, What are some of the items that surprise you that you?
One of the more unusual pieces we have, which I wouldn't say is a highlight. I haven't figured out quite how to integrate it, but it's a host maker for making the host for communion or Eucharist at church. We don't even know, unfortunately, which church it belongs to, or exactly, I mean, other than somebody donated it years ago, which unfortunately represents a lot of the collection. We don't know, you know, where they donated it from or so on. But yeah, that was definitely a strange one. A lot of my favorite artifacts are from the fur trade. Most of our fur trade artifacts from this area are at Simon Fraser University because they did the work. But from our third fort, our first fort known as St. John's, we got all those artifacts. So they're on display in our fur trade exhibit and stored in the back, and we use those for school kids. We have them in special containers that can be cast around, so can actually see and interact with all these artifacts, from beads to flint and so on.
How do you go about building an exhibition? What are some that you're putting together right now that you're excited about?
The second part of our transportation exhibit, we broke it down into three phases. So last year was all about boats on the Peace River. This year it's all about trains. And we have a very late piecemeal train history in this area. A lot of our trains are coming from Alberta with the Northern Alberta Railway, because geographically we are part of Alberta. And it's not until the Pacific Great Eastern comes in 1956 or so that we actually have passenger train service all the way to Fort St. John before you're at nearby communities in Northern BC or Alberta. And then having to transport something like the stove we have in our Pioneer Kitchen from Hythe, Alberta here, which today is only a couple hours, and back then was probably several days worth of horses pulling over large Peace River hills.
What are some acquisitions that you've brought into the collection recently that you're excited about?
So one of the things we were hoping to do just before COVID was do a presentation night on life in our dormitory. So we had a high school dormitory here, very late 40s through the 60s. And they're actually two different buildings throughout the history. And students from all over northern British Columbia, like as far away as Telegraph Creek in the west, as well as various places in the Yukon and even Northwest Territories, came to Fort St. John to go to school and boarded in these dormitories. So we've been busy. This is actually one of our, I guess, contemporary collections, or collect it while the people are still here to share their photos and stories. So we got tons of photos, which most of the owners wanted back, so we scanned them but had permission to use them in our collection. And we also interviewed people, or got them to fill out a questionnaire. So we have lots of great stories about what it was like to go to high school, you know, stories from breaking out of the dormitory and so on, or defying curfew, to what it was like to come from a rural area and attend school in a larger center.
Do you find that a bit of a challenge as a museum in an area that's somewhat of a hub? Do you find sometimes collections in, say, Alberta that tie in with your museum, or up in the Yukon? Do you find that kind of crossover happening quite a bit?
Yeah, there is some crossover, and that's always tricky in our collection in terms of how much do we collect, especially when in regards to Alaska Highway. We have a lot of big Alaska Highway collections, but, you know, we try and restrict our geographic area to the North Peace region of British Columbia, so we kind of cover north of the Peace River up to 101, or mile 101 of the Alaska Highway. But we have back in Dawson Creek, which is South Peace, we have photos photos of that relating to the Alaska Highway. We have photos through the Yukon and probably into Alaska as well. So something just sort of defy the geographic boundary.
What do you see? What are some of the aspirations for the museum in the next 5-10 years? What do you see in the future?
We have a strategic plan, but it doesn't stretch that far. But some of our big tasks, we're working on getting all these photos into the database, and we've done it maybe a slightly complicated way, but easier for us down the road, where every photo has a record and is searchable. Most of our photos now that were cataloged and accepted years ago are in. We're working on the final few albums and one box of photos, but we also have lots of incoming photos that we're keeping up with. So that was one big section of getting our archives in, but most of our archival documents are not in our database. Down the road, we've got to work to get those in. Everything from when I started in 2011 is in, but there's the whole lovely backlog that lots of museums have. And then our big project outside is we accepted a house a couple years ago called the Allen House. So it's a two-story homestead house. So basically the second house people would have had on their homesteads. We're in the process of restoring that. We've got some grants and have done the roof and windows and doors. So it's now watertight. And over the next years, we need to work on fixing it up and getting exhibits in and so on.
Well, Heather, thank you very much for taking the time to sit down and speak with me. And look forward to hearing about all the new things as you continue on.
Thanks for having me.